All right, Thursday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Let's hop right into it. Mischief video. Fannie Willis, listen, I'm telling you, this is good for us. Things are actually going well. 1-9-0 in the Supreme Court. I'm not going to break that all down again. We did it on Tuesday. 1-9-0 in the Supreme Court. The immunity case is the big one that's coming up in the Supreme Court. We'll see how that one goes. But right now we're winning. Fannie Willis is being humiliated. Now here's the good stuff. More and more specifics are coming out, and it gets worse and worse and worse for Fannie. And of course, they're trying to change Fannie's name to Fannie, which I'm not going to allow that to happen. It's Fannie. It's going to stay Fannie, just like Kiev is going to stay Kiev. Mischief video. Fannie Willis is going to jail. Play for me.
All right. Well, explosive new allegations emerging against DA Fannie Willis this week. The lawyer who exposed the potential conflict of interest between Willis and Nathan Wade testified before a special Georgia Senate committee, alleging that Wade was paid nearly double the salary of his other colleagues. Listen.
It gives pretty much zero, in my opinion, identification. I mean, this is not something that we would be able to submit to a client ever. I can't imagine. I mean, they would, if I billed them $2,000 for 8 hours of meeting with a team on one day, and just research without what I'm researching. I mean, you have to be detailed in your bills, because that's accountability. I mean, that's the only way as lawyers we can be accountable.
All right, criminal defense attorney Brian Claypool joins us now. Brian, a couple of major explosive allegations in that testimony. Let's break them down one by one, starting with what you just heard there from Ashley Merchant, that Nathan Wade earned more than double the salaries of his colleagues, and that the accounting for how he was paid and what he was paid for is opaque. What do you make of that?
Hey, Jillian, great to see you again. Yeah, the testimony yesterday was devastating. The evidence is really damaging for Fannie Willis. Why? Because Nathan Wade was paid almost $700,000. He billed $250 an hour. If you do the math, Jillian, that's $700,000 divided by $250 an hour is 2,800 hours. What did he do in 2,800 hours? And his billing doesn't reveal that. When you're paid hourly, Jillian, you are required to itemize your tasks. You can't just bill 12 hours, I went to a meeting. So that there is potential for taxpayer fraud now stemming from this evidence. And by the way, there's two other assistants that were appointed as special counsel. They billed a little under $100,000. So it's almost seven times more that he billed, that Fannie Willis would get the bill, she would approve it, and it gets paid. So this is devastating.
What about this? This is Ashley Merchant claiming that their cell phone data, that Wade took a series of middle of the night trips to Fannie Willis's house before she'd even hired him. Take a listen to that.
So it's pinging from his house all the way down to the condo at midnight, 1 a.m. And he calls her when he gets there. And then it goes silent for 4 or 5 hours. And then, you know, early in the morning hours, he starts pinging again, driving back, and then he texts her when he gets home. So
this is before he gets hired in November of 21.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know. What do you say to that?
Well, Jillian, this is getting bigger than should Fannie Willis be removed. And I think she will be after all of this testimony. That question by one of the state senators is critical. Why did he ask if that was before Wade was hired? Because that now potentially supports a perjury charge. Remember, Willis and Nathan Wade got up on the stand and said, we didn't have any kind of relationship before Wade was hired in November of 2021. Well, now we've got cell phone data, and I saw 30 visits to Hapeville, Georgia. I think that's where Fannie Willis lives. 30 visits prior to Wade being hired. That supports the proposition that more was going on, that it could have easily been a romantic relationship. What are you doing from 1 a.m. to 6 a.m.? So this could create, you know, additional charges against Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade.
All right, let's go the perjury route first, because both of them testified under oath, as well as Terrence Bradley, his attorney, testified under oath that they did not have a relationship prior to Fannie Willis hiring Nathan Wade. So let's go with that first, perjury. So they said that they had really no relationship. Get this now. The relationship blossomed. Once Fannie Willis hired Nathan Wade, the relationship blossomed into a adulterous affair that led to Nathan Wade's divorce and all that, which even this, and I digress again, even in the midst of this, because I don't want anything to appear righteous that isn't righteous, even if that was the case, it's still all bad and all fraud because she's still profiting off of the money that she's giving to a boyfriend, even if she did it, even if she hired him after they became, even if she hired them, even if she hired him before they were boyfriend and girlfriend. It really doesn't matter. But they testified under oath that they had no relationship prior to her hiring him. They said that numerous times on the stand. Here's the problem. How many of you have no relationship with somebody that you visited 30 times? You have no relationship, but in the middle of the freaking night, you're visiting them, it's actually 35. 35 times Nathan Wade was at Fawny's apartment in the middle of the night, but they had no relationship whatsoever. Remember, she and he testified under oath. They had no relationship prior to Fannie Willis hiring him. These are the people prosecuting Donald Trump, just like Anthony Fauci is the one who tells you to take 8 vaccinations and put 3 masks on. The experts, these people, the people that inform you, the experts, the people that are allegedly our leaders, our judicial leaders, our law enforcement leaders, these are them. So 35 visits. Also, I'll ask you this. If you don't know the person, remember, that's their testimony, that they didn't really had very, they'd met like one time and sort of some sort of tacit, meeting somewhere at a group gathering, whatever the testimony was. But they had no relationship prior to Fannie hiring him. Well, how many of you out there have no relationship with somebody you call 2,000 times? Remember, the district attorney, bought and paid for by George Soros, Fannie Willis, testified under oath numerous times that she had no prior relationship with Nathan Wade prior to hiring him. But she and he had called each other 2,000 times in a year. And in that same year, they exchanged 12,000 texts, but they had no relationship whatsoever. And here's my thing, okay? I am a tech moron. Tech moron. Without Aaron and without Will, nothing happens here. I don't know how to turn this microphone on. I have no idea. Just recently, I learned how to go on Rumble over here because Aaron helped me do it. So I'm live on Rumble. So I don't know anything about tech. But you know what? Remember, these are people that are allegedly prosecuting people under RICO statutes, but I digress. But I know nothing. I would know that if I was going to perjure myself, that they're going to hire an Aaron to go see how many text messages I exchanged with the person I claim to have no relationship with.
Yeah.
You know, you just call me, it's like, whether it's Joe Biden's bank records or, you know, all those different things, which, by the way, all that slam dunk, if you're buying into anything, the mainstream media is telling you about Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, and the Biden crime family, Biden extortion family, all the extorting they've done around the world. If it was anybody else but them, they're already in prison. Both of them are already in prison. So is Frank and James, Hunter Biden, and I never can remember Joe Biden's sister's name. But I would just know if I was Fannie or Nathan Willis, these are college graduates, law school graduates, allegedly people that strategically put together cases to prosecute people, although Nathan Wade's never prosecuted anybody before. But yet he's hired to prosecute the most powerful man on the globe, most famous man on the globe, under the RICO statute, racketeering statute, a man who's never prosecuted a bicycle theft is now prosecuting the most powerful man in the world. But Fannie says, we had no relationship. I didn't hire him because he's my boyfriend. But he goes from never prosecuting any case at all to prosecuting Donald Trump, the most famous man in the world, under the RICO statute. All right, on to the fraud. So it's already lock, stock, and barrel. Numerous perjury charges. It's over. They lied under oath. There is no doubt. So that's the perjury side. Now on the fraud side and or bribery side and or conflict of interest side. So she, obviously, she and Nathan Wade were boyfriend and girlfriend prior to her hiring him, Willis hiring Wade. Now, Wade has billed now the Fulton County District Court for Fulton County double every other attorney, hourly wage, not just double the hours and everything else. He's actually way more than that, but his rates are more than double the other attorneys who are bona fide RICO statute experts.
Yeah.
Just so you know. He's never even looked at a RICO case. He's never prosecuted a case. He's a family law attorney. He was a judge over speeding tickets. That's who Nathan Wade is. But she didn't hire him because she's her boyfriend. Because he's her boyfriend. She didn't hire him. Oh, yeah, that's the only reason why she hired him. And she made sure that she gave him $750,000 so that it was her money, too. That's corruption. That's bribery. That's fraud. And she needs to be criminally prosecuted. No mercy. It's just like you heard Steve Bannon on the pregame. Victoria Nuland, make sure you keep a copy of all your documents. Hire your attorneys because we're coming. Victoria Nuland needs to be tried at The Hague for war crimes. I don't have time to get into Ukraine right now. But anyway, same thing. There is no mercy when we own the DOJ. None. We ain't going to lie. We're not going to cheat. We're not going to steal. We're not going to do all things Democrats do. This is lock, stock, and barrel fraud. Bribery, and any other statute I'm not aware of because these things I didn't deal with as a cop. So Nathan Wade has billed Fulton County $700,000. All right, now he's building more than that now, but for sure he's probably billing Fulton County to go to these various hearings he's having to go to right now to determine his level of corruption.
Yeah.
But that billing is $250 an hour, which is double everybody else's. Everybody else is $125 an hour. Nathan Wade, because of his expertise, it's not his expertise. Because of his vast experience, he has no experience. Oh, he does have experience. With Fanny. That's it. Remember the 35 visits to Fanny's apartment before they even knew each other, according to them, under oath. 2,000 phone calls and 12,000 texts. So he does have experience. At 1 o'clock between 1 and 4 in the morning with Fannie Willis while he was still married, by the way. So he's billing twice the hourly rate as everybody else. And in order, even at $250 an hour, and I'm just taking this off of the video of Jesse Waters. If you divide that $750,000 into 700,000, that means that he has allegedly worked. So he billed $700,000. He's billing it at $250 per hour. That means he's worked 2,000 hours. 2,000 hours. It's a 40-hour work week. He's worked, though. I mean, he must be a real worker bee. Oh, all right, he is.
Special
services. I'll leave it at that. Yes, well, this is special services, yeah. So with that, if you divide 250 into 700,000, he's worked 2,000 hours. What did he do? And here's the other one. Absolutely nothing. I mean, he's done nothing. What have they done but lose? Nothing. What has Nathan Wade done? Absolutely nothing. He doesn't know what to do. He's never done charging documents in his life. He's never, ever tried any criminal case in his life. But she didn't hire him because he was her boyfriend. The other colleagues, they have billed a total of $100,000. He billed $700,000. And the RICO experts, the ones who are actually doing all the work, they have built $100,000. This is over. Now, the question is, and what they're doing now, what the Democrats are doing, is they have signed up a BLM, Black Lives Matter, sort of judge to run against the judge. So they're what they're doing is this judge it's going to be judging this case against Fannie Willis to determine whether to remove her from the case or not. He was running unopposed, but now suddenly he's having to run against the Black Lives Matter attorney for his judgeship, for his seat. Weird, isn't it? Suddenly, because what they're doing is saying, you know what? Make sure that you rule correctly. If you rule correctly, we'll pull your opponent off the ballot. But if you don't, you're going to lose your seat. That's what they're doing. Credit Dan Bongino on that. All right, let's go to the next one. A salty Texan tweet. Breaking bombshell news out of Georgia. This is what a real RICO case looks like at Kamala Harris. During a Georgia Senate hearing, attorney Ashley Merson disclosed White House records showing that Georgia district attorney, a little Georgia Fulton County district attorney, Fannie Willis, had met with Vice President Kamala Harris on February 28th of 2023, shortly before bringing charges against Donald Trump. And what? And some of those 2,000 hours that Nathan Wade has billed Fulton County, 24 of those hours, because he billed Fulton County for 24 hours in one day. One day. So let's just make up a date. February 8th, he billed Fulton County 24 hours. So he was there at, and where was he at? At the White House for 24 hours. So he was there midnight to midnight. Of course, that would show in the White House visitor logs, right? It's all fraud. And Nathan Wade, this is all illegal. Vice President Harris is committing a crime by meeting with Fannie Willis. You are not allowed to coordinate federal jurisdiction, i.e. the White House, with a local prosecution. It is illegal. It is not allowed. All of these people need to be prosecuted. She met with the vice president and then filed charges against Donald Trump. Nathan Wade met with White House attorneys and then filed charges against Donald Trump. All patently illegal. All right, let's go to the next one. Breaking 9/11 video. This is off the subject now. Done with Fannie for the night. Breaking 9/11 video. I love this. This might be my favorite video of the day. There's one challenger. Let's see if I get to it. But this might be my favorite video of the day. Here's Letitia James, Breaking 9/11 video. Watch New York AG Letitia James scolded at the FDNY, Fire Department of New York, New York Fire Department, ceremony with chants of Trump, Trump, Trump. Watch her condescending behavior. Play for me.
Come on, we're in a house of God. First, simmer down. I want to thank Commissioner Kavanaugh and Chief Hodgins for that recognition.
Now, you see her condescension, and they're chanting Trump, Trump, Trump. Just so everybody knows, too, a lot of these, what's really sad is a lot of these unions, whether it's fire department or police departments, sheriff's office almost exclusively do endorse Donald Trump. But a lot of these unions don't actually endorse the candidate of the people that are the union. The leader, it's just like the Republican Party. The leadership of the Republican Party, i.e. the people that we elect, don't actually do what we elect them to do. The leadership in a lot of these unions don't actually represent the values of the people who hired them to be their union leadership. But again, I just digress on that for a second, because a lot of times FDNY endorses the Democrat. But you have it's confusing, it's FDNY, but it's the New York Fire Department, but their official name is the Fire Department of New York. But FDNY is chanting Trump, Trump, Trump. So their union better endorse Donald Trump. But you look at what she said. First of all, she mocks God. Look how she said God. We're in a house of God. You know who Letitia James has first bought and paid for? George Soros, under Act Blue money funneled to her through George Soros. She always says, George Soros never gave me a dime. Yeah, George Soros gave all the money to the super PAC that gave you all your dimes. It's all just lies. They're just bull-faced, demonic liars. So she mocks God first, and then she says, now, who is Letitia James? She's a fat lady that everybody's scared of. That's who she is. I mean, flat out. I mean, if you watched her walk up to the podium, she's this wide. I can't even get it on the camera. She's this wide. I'm not that wide. Look, I mean, I'm not that wide. She's wider than me. I'm 220 pounds. She's wider than me. She's got to be weighing in higher, heavier than me. But that's all she is. Nobody will say this because you'll be called a racist. Fine. You call me whatever you want. I know who I am. I know I'm not a racist. I don't care. Call me a racist. Everybody's scared to death of her. They have been her whole career, because if you say anything to her, you correct her, you discipline her, you tell her to keep her mouth shut, whatever it is, you'll be called a racist, because she'll call you a racist. That she's leveraged race her whole life. She's coming after Hochul next. I know it. I just mark it down, because that's what's going to happen next. And I'll rejoice in it, because Hochul will be reaping what she's sown. So she mocks God first and then comes up and tells guys that, yo, thank you, that's a perfect freeze. Right there in that frame, she's telling people who save lives on a daily basis in New York, especially because of the cesspool rat hole that it's become. The FDNY saves lives every day. Whether it's paramedic services, running into burning buildings, whatever it is, they save lives every day. She's never done a thing with her fat self.
Yep.
Nothing. Except leverage race to the top. And she is, she's at the top. She's number one law enforcement officer in the fourth largest state in the union. Oh, becoming smaller and smaller. State is becoming smaller and smaller because of people like her and Hochul. But she comes up and tells everybody to what? Tone it down, pipe down, simmer down.
Simmer down.
Simmer down. Yeah. In her little condo, to people who actually work, whose sole goal in life is not persecuting political opponents, who actually work for a living, and their work is saving lives. She tells them in a condescending tone of voice to simmer down. Simmer down. She is a disgusting human being, and it's great that she's getting booed. All right, let's go to the next one. Here's Mayor Eric Adams' tweet. Now, I'm setting this up because now we're going to talk about the cesspool of New York, which, of course, Letitia James, that's where she lives, and that's what she presides over. You'd think that she's only the AG over New York City because that's all she focuses on, but she's actually the AG of the entire state, but does nothing in the rest of the state, and the rest of the state is basically red. Problem is you got 8 million because they've run out of million out of New York. You got 8 million voters in New York City alone that are all Democrats. But the rest of the city, I mean, the rest of the state is actually red. And then they do fraudulent elections inside the city and just manifest ballots all throughout the night, as we saw in 2020. But Mayor Eric Adams' tweet, here's the lies. Murders are down. Shootings are down. Transit crime is down. Car thefts are down. The safest big city in America just got safer. Can you imagine the audacity, the complete lack of legitimacy, the complete lack of honor and integrity you have to have to tweet that? And you're listening. I know that you've heard this. If you're 694 people on, all of us have our finger on the pulse. The Biden administration is coming out and saying crime's down. How's crime down? Does anybody know how crime's down? Because it wasn't down a year ago, but how is it suddenly down now? 40% increase in felonious crimes in 2023. 25% increase in murder in NYC. How is it down all of a sudden? I'm just curious, how is it down? Because they just stopped classifying crimes as crimes.
Yep.
It's just like Joe Biden at the border. Why did he fly 322,000, I believe it is? 322,000 illegals on airplanes across the southern border. It's now coming out into various locations who never went through a port of entry. These people never even crossed illegally the southern border. He loaded them on a plane before they got to the border and flew them across the border. Over 300,000 of them, because then he can say 300,000 people didn't illegally cross the border. There it is. Oh, hey, 320,000.
Yep.
Yeah. Throw it up there, Aaron, so people can see it real quick. We'll go back. There you go. Just so everybody can see what I'm talking about. There it is. I mean, we did this on Tuesday, but I just wanted you to see it. He did it because then he can say look, we have 320,000 less border entries, illegal border entries. Yeah. Because they're not registered anywhere. He just flew them over the wall. He just flew them over the border in a jumbo jet. So that's all they do is they just reclassify shootings as something else. Reclassify murders as something else. Reclassify, which is very easy. Transit crime is something else. And car thefts is something else. So they do. That's all. It's just like in California. Does anybody know? This is going to be great for all you guys. Thefts are way down in California. I mean, we show videos all the time of mass looting in California. I mean, I'm talking about mass, organized, orchestrated looting in California. But somehow theft is down in California because nothing's a theft until you get over $900.
Yeah.
So man, they've eliminated. I mean, just so you know, I was a cop for 25 years, 1992, 2017. Most theft is misdemeanor theft, not felonious theft. Felonious theft starts at $300 above in the state of Florida. They've eliminated all theft in California because they no longer deem theft as theft. It's just a non-crime now. Wow. So that's what Eric Adams is doing. So here's the problem with what old Eric is doing. Who is now running from being a sanctuary city. You just saw in Oregon, they have just re-criminalized drugs. They had a four-year experiment in Oregon. Four-year experiment in Oregon. They had legalized heroin. Legalized methamphetamine. Did anybody know? I hope y'all knew that. You stay this, you know, legalized everything. Okay. Now they're recriminalizing everything as if Democratic policies never work. Oh, that's right. They never do work. Just like all the, you had Minneapolis, St. Paul, and they're all talking now, the Democrats are talking about, because Mike Johnson came out and is cutting funding to the DOJ, cutting funding to the FBI. None of those are, and they're saying, look, it's the Republicans who want to defund the police because they're defunding the DOJ and the FBI. Those aren't police departments. It's Gestapo for the Democratic Party. And what Mike Johnson should have done when he was smart, if he was smart, to take that argument away. But Mike Johnson's not smart. He's got his ankles. He's got his ankles spread. He's got his hands around those ankles because he just funded that latest budgetary monstrosity that Jesse Waters outlined for you. But what if you were smart, he would have taken that money and said, you know, we're reallocating it to local law enforcement, because the Democrats love federal, Republican, conservative, persecuting, meeting with Facebook, meeting with Twitter, meeting with Google to take down all of our social media. They love those federal law enforcement agencies, but they hate cops, real cops that actually enforce the law, that do legitimate law enforcement. They hate those guys. Because, you know, it's, again, you get Soros bought and paid for attorneys all around the United States, then they're just not prosecuting crime. Cops make the arrests, and those attorneys don't prosecute crime. So back to New York. So Mayor Eric Adams, he says that all these things are, put it up there one more time for me, Will, so everybody can have that just burned into your head. There it is. That's what Eric Adams says. So here's the next one, New York Post video. Governor Hochul, though, Eric Adams says everything's great in New York. Murders are down. Car thefts are down. Transit crime way down. Everything's way down. But Governor Hochul, New York Post video, is going to deploy 1,000 National Guardsmen there. Guardsmen and state cops to carry out bag checks on the subways. I thought all the crime was down, especially transit crime. Transit crime down, I believe you said 16%. So why is she doing this? Play for me, Will.
So today, in the wake of these latest attacks, I'm unveiling a 5-point plan to rid our subways of people who commit crimes and protect all New Yorkers, whether you're a commuter or a transit worker. Point one, I'm redeploying nearly 1,000 members of the New York State Police, MTA Police, and MTA National Guard to conduct bag checks in the city's busiest transit stations. You'll start seeing them at the tables, making sure that weapons are not being brought in, working in concert with our New York State Police, as well as our NYPD. Because no one heading to their job or to visit family or to go to a doctor appointment should worry that the person sitting next to them possesses a deadly weapon.
You know, I don't like to make fun of people's speaking ability, but I'll tell you what, these people are stupid. The woman can't even get out a coherent sentence. She can't. Everything's paused. She's reading off of notes. How hard does it say? We're deploying 1,000 National Guard troops into NYC subways to conduct bag checks. Done. Now, I want to say something. A great post here by Alaska Man 1165. I never thought of this, and I'm sure you're 100% right. There's manipulation of what they call crime, but again, it's just all these Potomac two-step waves of saying things, using statistics to lie. Alaska Man 1165 in the chat. In New York, they are talking about crime stats based on convictions. Yeah, that's great. Just like they just remember the two middle fingers. You know, we just call them, you know, Manuel middle fingers. The guy who was kicking cops in the head, that, yeah. Alvin Bragg just dismissed all the charges against him.
Yep.
No convictions.
Right.
No crime. That's a great point, Alaska Man 1165. That's, he just dismissed all the charges. I never thought of that. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Never thought of it. Just kick him out, then you don't have the crime. You just go by. Because then it's always having plausible, although I call it implausible, but or unplausible, whatever it is. They always talk about the plausible deniability. So they always say, well, what we were talking about were convictions. We're noticed the crimes to the roof. Can't walk safely anywhere in New York. Crime's through the roof, and yet the mayor's saying that crime is down. How could that possibly be? It's just like Joe Biden says the economy's great, but my grocery bill's up 50%.
Yeah.
How are things great? It's what they do. They slide through statistics. Oh, well, we were talking about convictions. Did you ever use convictions before as your criminal justice data? As your crime data? Has that ever been what you used before to disseminate crime data, crime statistical data? No, well, we did it this time. Why'd you do it this time? So we look good when we're doing actually a horrible job. But we'll look like we're doing a great job. Because it's so funny because you look at the duplicity of that. They're doing a horrible job, yes, and part of their statistics reveal that they're doing a horrible job because there are fewer convictions. Convictions should be way up because the number of crimes is way up, but actually the number of convictions is way down because they're just not prosecuting crimes. They just basically dismissed all the charges against the guys kicking the cops. Oh, the one guy. I don't know about the rest of them. Although two of them, I think, were already found near the border in California. And I heard a rumor that New York put them on a plane out there. All right, Citizen Free Press, is that where we're at, Will?
Yes, sir.
What happens if New Yorkers, this should sound eerily familiar to everybody, because Kathy Hochul sounds just like Dan Andrews. Well, you know what? If you don't want your bag searched, you just go home. Oh, I got to go to work. Listen, play for me.
They're going to search bags randomly.
Randomly.
There is a statistical.
What happens if you don't want your bag searched?
Then go home. We're not going to search you. You can say no, but you're not taking the subway.
No, you don't have to take a vaccination. You just lose all of your income.
Wow.
It's the same. I tell you, the demons are always the same with the same lies, the same agenda, the same talking points. Dan Andrews, what if somebody doesn't want to take a vaccination? Well, they're fired. But we're not forcing you to take the vaccination. Nobody's forcing you to have your bag searched now. And again, you know, are they going to search anybody who actually looks like a suspect? No, they'll search Aaron. They'll search somebody who has, because they're not going to search anybody who because it's racist to profile anybody. Even though criminal statistical data says certain races and certain ethnicities and certain sexes commit. Okay, if you're going to have a serial killer, are you going to target men or women? Men? Profiler? Profiler? You're a profiler. You're a sexist. No, men are always the serial killers.
Yep.
There's been like one that was on I-75 in Florida. That was it. That was a female serial killer. It was a hooker. That's it. So now, if you don't want your bag searched, you just say you're just you're 32-year-old white woman, 5'3", 124 pounds, walking, and you're gonna be the one they search. It's like at the airport. They don't search anybody that actually looks like a suspect. They search me.
Yep.
So if you don't want to search, Kathy Hochul tells you the same thing she said about the vaccination. Then you lose everything. You don't want to be searched. You're going to lose your income for the day. Go home. You don't have any other options. You ride the subway to work every day. Anybody ever ridden the subways in New York? I have. I was there for like close to a week in New York, riding the subway from Jersey and going under Madison Square Garden every day. It's packed. Everybody's going to work. There and back. And you refuse to let your bag be searched? Enjoy it, New York. Hochul's who you voted for. Could add somebody else. You voted for Hochul. Congratulations. Here comes COVID tyranny, just masquerading as criminal tyranny now. Here's another one for you. Big Fish video. Is it just me, or does New York City seem like an Orwellian police state? Here's what it looks like now in the subway system in New York. And remember, Eric Adams says everything's great. So if everything's great, why does it look like a police state? Play for me. There you go. I just wanted to see. That's like a 2-minute long video, but I just want to show you. There, that's what the subway system looks like. Actually, if you can, well, don't worry about it. I was going to say side by side. If you can get that for me side by side. This is what Democratic policies will bring you. Right there. Yeah, not that container. Well, yeah, it does. That's perfect, too. Look, there it is. That's all good. Perfect, good video shot here. That's what Democratic Party's policies will tell you. All the while telling you crime is down. Crime is down. But you have guys armed with M16s in the subway. But don't worry. Eric Adams says crime is down. It's just like we have 15,000 illegal border invaders per day crossing the southern border. And Alejandro Mayorkas, his number one priority is teaching CBP to use the proper pronouns for the illegal migrants. But Eric Adams, look how great it is. Come over here and get your bag searched. Come on over here and get your bag searched. But don't crime is great. Then why are you searching bags, Eric? Don't ever get in the way of Eric Adams and a camera either. Then a crime will occur. He'll run you right over. Look how great New York is. Looks great, isn't it? I mean, that would make me feel great going to work looking like that. Looks like downtown Beirut.
Feels safe.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the next one. All right, a little bit on 1-6 here. Mischief video. The DOJ lied about Kamala. You guys can just, whenever you can, side by side this. Because I don't need anything else with it. Just side by side, let it roll. I don't know how long it is. Just let it roll. I mean, you get as close to Kamala coming in and out as you can. It's good. You got it right. It's perfect the way that it is. DOJ lied about Kamala Harris being inside the Capitol during January 6th stage insurrection. Now, that is Kamala Harris. Where is she going? She's leaving the Capitol prior to the quote-unquote insurrection, of which there was no guns and no insurrectionists, and no, the insurrectionists, the only people that were killed were the quote-unquote insurrectionists, and every one of them that were killed were completely and totally unarmed. Now, Kamala Harris is leaving the Capitol. Now, some of you are like, who cares? She left the Capitol. What does that got to do with the 1-6 insurrection? I'm going to tell you what. Here's the thing. What the DOJ did, now, again, all of these people need to be criminally prosecuted for filing false police reports and felony perjury. The DOJ lied about Kamala Harris being inside the Capitol. Why would they lie? Remember, where was she actually at? She was at the DNC right next to the pipe bomb, which she never talks about, which I don't have time to get into the pipe bomb stuff tonight. But Matt Taibbi, if you want to get to the bottom of that pipe bomb stuff. But why is it such a big deal that she was at the DNC and not in the Capitol? As we see her, she left the Capitol. She never re-entered the Capitol until long after the protests. Long after the protests. Why is it a big deal? Because how it works with, you can just bring it back to me, guys. How it works with the Secret Service, because once, of course, you're the, I just vomit in my throat, even to this day, 3 years later. Once you're the vice president-elect, you get a, you obviously get a Secret Service detail. Secret Service detail then creates, now this is my own terminology, a no-go zone. If you violate that no-go zone while you're protesting, you've committed a crime. Does that make sense, Eric?
Yes, yep.
Now, if you don't violate that no-go zone, even if maybe you have a subsequent crime, like most of the rioters, the insurrectionists, unarmed insurrectionists who could never, are they ever going to defeat the Marine Corps and actually commit an insurrection? Like every 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years, Turkey has an insurrection. They literally do. They have a military coup. You can just go back and look at history. They do. They kill people and take the capital by force with tanks. That's an insurrection, folks, okay?
Right.
People waving flags and the Capitol Police opening up doors for them and them walking in is not an insurrection. Even the stuff that was violent was still not an insurrection. That would be a riotous part of the protest. And I should classify it because now that I'm going by the new rules and the new characterizations, it was a mostly peaceful protest.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's how it works. But anyway... So the Secret Service for the vice president-elect, vomit in the back of my throat, create a no-go zone. If you violate that no-go zone, that's a crime in and of itself. That you be subsequently charged with, even say you were originally trespassing, and then you so you just had that charge, but you never went into the no-go zone. So all you get is trespass. If you trespassed and then entered the no-go zone, then you get the trespass on top of the felony violation of the no-go zone. Makes sense, Aaron?
Yep.
Okay. The DOJ has this video and has had it for the last 3 years. They knew the entire time that she was gone out of the Capitol. What, again, the Capitol was the Secret Service no-go zone. Everybody's been charged with violating the no-go zone. The no that entered the Capitol. Problem is, the no-go zone was blocks away at the DNC. They knew it the entire time, so they were erroneously charging people. And not even, oops, we made a mistake. They were doing it. They're refusing to release their documents now, as usual. All these attorneys involved in this, these prosecutors, all of them, Shutkins and the judges, they all know that Vice President-elect Kamala Harris wasn't in the Capitol. In order to charge the people in the Capitol with violating the no-go zone, which is a felony, she had to have been in the Capitol for there to be an established no-go zone.
Yep.
She wasn't for anybody who went in there because she was gone long before they entered the Capitol. But everybody entering the Capitol has been also subsequently charged with violating the no-go zone. Stacked on another felony. People are in prison right now because of it. Even people who weren't in Washington, D.C. at the time have been held responsible for all these violations, these felonious violations of the no-go zone. All this making sense?
Yep.
So all these people sentenced to 22 years in prison, all that stuff outside, they're being held responsible for all these felonies that occurred that didn't occur. And all these D.C. attorneys and prosecutors, they knew it. Wonder why it is. I mean, think about this. You're in a trial for your freaking life. Okay, you're in a trial for your life. You're looking at 10 years in a federal prison away from your wife. All right, you're away from your family. No, okay, you're done. 10 years. And you're fighting for your life. And your defense attorney is requesting that video. But it's being refused to you from the people who are prosecuting you because they're afraid that it's going to release some sort of national security secret. It's going to show a hallway where there's a secret Pelosi door. So defense attorneys are not allowed access to their criminal defense evidence, exculpatory evidence. This is what's been going on for 3 years. And you know I'm balanced about 1-6. If people committed crimes, they battered law enforcement, they should suffer the consequences for it. But all those consequences long since over for over 3 years now. There's people in prison for a decade or decades, 5, 6, 7, 8 years too, many of them. And a lot of the reason why instead of getting, 18 months of probation, they never should have gotten that anyway. I'm not saying anything about anybody's specific charges. But instead of just using random numbers, they should get 18 months probation. Instead, they got 3.5 years because they violated the no-go zone. That didn't exist. The no-go zone was block away the DNC.
Yep.
Unless they marched over to the DNC, broke down the DNC doors, and purposely violated the no-go zone. They didn't violate the no-go zone. Pence and Kamala Harris were not there. And they all knew it. That is perjury. And it's filing a false police report. Both felonies. And all of them need to be prosecuted. When we are, listen, we can walk and chew gum at the same time. Everybody, we can bring in all the fiscal policies, lock down the border, deport all the illegal migrants, do all of this at the same time while simultaneously prosecuting all of these people. Has to happen. Has to happen or it'll never stop. And see, for some people, for me and you, 756 people on right now for us, I know I haven't been arrested. There's other people. And listen, there's people that did dumb things there. There was. But I mean, I believe it's a Fed's direction. Even the dumb things were instigated by the DOJ, by the DOJ, by the FBI, by the State Department, and by NGOs funded by the State Department. I believe it was a color revolution. It's basically the opposite of the 2014 Ukraine color revolution, where you brought in protesters there to actually run out the current president of Ukraine. This was the opposite. You brought the protesters out to infiltrate the protesters so that you can arrest the protesters and criminalize all of us who wear MAGA hats. There's one of those insurrectionists. They challenge elections. Don't you challenge every single time? Don't you challenge an election? You lose, Democrat? Well, yeah, I challenge it. But when I challenge it, it's democracy. When you challenge it, it's antithetical to democracy. Dumb, that doesn't make any sense. Of course it makes no sense. They're leftards. If you're called a leftard, you probably are nonsensical. So that's the deal. That's what's happened. All those people need to be criminally charged for what they've done. If you want to really follow good stuff on that, Julie Kelly is the bomb when it comes to 1-6 Fed insurrection. All right, moving on to transgender now. Dr. Jebra Fauci video. How many of you know that the greatest path to free transgender surgery is the United States military? Do you know that? If you want free transgender surgery, then join the military. Don't believe me? Play it for me.
Welcome to part one of my series documenting the transition of a man in the military, specifically the Navy, is the route that I went. This started back in 2017. I enlisted to transition, no other goal than that. And I come from a very conservative state. I come from Florida. So you know, I could kind of feel which way the wind was blowing even back then. So I enlisted. They had some training in boot camp over, you know, how to not be a terrible person to trans people. And if you were trans, then what you were supposed to do. So graduated, went to school for, you know, to learn what I was going to be doing. And almost immediately, I went to medical and I asked to be referred. And within a week, I was talking to a psychologist and a psychiatrist. Now, in the military, you have to have a diagnosis so that they can deem it medically necessary to give you hormones and start the transition. Really, all it was is I go to a therapist, do a quick consultation, and then the next time, you know, it was basically she asked me questions, marked some boxes, and said, why, yes, you're trans, medically guaranteed. However, in the Navy, that comes with its own obstacle, because depending on what you do will depend on if you immediately go to a ship or if you go to just a building where you're going to be working. And I had to go to a ship first. So they said, wait for shore duty. It'll be a lot easier, you know, because turns out when you start transitioning, when you get hormones, you're then put in a non-deployable status, which means that you can't go on a ship. That you would be deemed to be basically in danger of a medical emergency that they won't be able to treat. Because a lot of jets wouldn't really be able to handle a thyroid exploding. Great. So I waited.
So Will brings up a good point with this. He was talking, that's our Marine over here sitting to my right. Now that's a she, because there's no Adam's apple there. I actually was struggling to figure out a lot of these people, because they've taken so many hormones, they deepen their voice or deepen it or make it higher, depending on which way you're wanting to go. And so sometimes after they've lopped off all their hair, or whatever. The men I can always tell. But some of the tweeners, like the women, it's hard to tell. But anyway, so that's a woman who's actually, you know, a fully vaginated woman, and she's gonna pretend like she's a dude. So she's going to get a phallic symbol sewed on. She's going to have her, you know, by the way, you're all going to pay for that. It's all free for her, but you're all going to pay for it. She's going to have this part basically, whatever you call it, just taken off, surgically taken off her form. They're going to sew on a phallic symbol that will work, inverted vagina, somehow put that little vein through the penis, whatever, so she can pee through her fake penis that will never be erect and never will produce semen, or never has balls, so you can't produce semen or anything else, but she'll have a bunch of phallic symbols sewed to her. And by the way, once she does, and after you and I drop about $250,000 on that, of our taxpayer dollars, so that she can pretend to be a guy, she's going to be happy then. I mean, she looks like somebody's on the verge any minute to be happy, right? I mean, suddenly, after you sew on all these phallic symbols, your fake balls and your fake penis and all that stuff, and you get injected with hormones and all those things, suddenly you're going to be happy, right? Of course, I'm being facetious. But Will's point is this. So once she transitions, I'm assuming that she, you know, who will now be called a he, I'm assuming that he will have to meet all the male requisites, right? Same amount of push-ups, pull-ups, mile run, five-mile run, back, what do you call them? Backpack? You don't call them backpacks. What do you call them?
Hiking, humping.
Yeah. When they're backpacks, they have to do that weigh 40 or 50 pounds. So you have to do all that, right? You have to uphold the male standards. She's in a male uniform, so I'm assuming that she would have to meet the male standards in the military. We all know that's not going to happen. So here's the thing with this. So not only does she get, if you notice, she said, we got trans training in boot camp. Oh, that's a priority, isn't it? We got China surrounding Taiwan right now. We got the war in Ukraine. Oh. We got the war in Israel. We got the Houthi war in the Red Sea. Numerous other conflicts. I believe it's some like 13, 14 conflicts around the globe right now. But in boot camp, you're getting trans training. I wonder if they're doing that in the Russian military. Oh, no. They wouldn't even allow her in the Russian military. So not only do you get trans training, but you get trans training and transition. Trans everything in the military now. And people think that we're still the greatest fighting force in the world. If we are, we're barely hanging in there because of this garbage that's going on. Speaking of that, look at this. Play it for me.
We have inclusion across all groups in the military. Come back tomorrow morning for the first 10 minutes and then run away. I'm going to focus a little bit more today on my story and that of transgender service members and how and why that fits into the picture of why inclusion matters. Why does it matter to us as a military? Why is it not a negative that some people may believe it to be? And how do we as leaders use it to enhance mission accomplishment?
How would trans enhance mission accomplishment? Go take the beach. Does everybody, before anybody gets off the personnel carrier here, can everybody please, all right, whose pronouns is what? You're they, them, she, he, him. And imagine this, you're trying to storm a beachhead. I know it's old school or whatever. I'm just, you know. So you're trying to storm a beachhead and you're saying they, and everybody thinks that they means what it actually means, which is a group of people. But there's also individuals in the crowd who go by they. So everybody's confused about who you're actually talking to because individuals are called they, them. And then you're talking to the group and calling them they. And you're going to storm. This is going to enhance mission accomplishment. This video right here, Amy Reichert video, off the military now. This is at a board of county commissioners or a board of city commissioners, District 3 somewhere, it may say in the video.
San Diego.
Is it San Diego again? Oh, my gosh. We just did San Diego. Oh, my word. San Diego's falling apart. Oh, my gosh. They were a disaster during COVID, too. But anyway, so here we go. I can't even give you any sort of intro to this video. It's got to speak for itself. Play it for me.
I found it really disgusting to find out that you used a picture of you and your child for your dating profile on Hinge, and your spread eagle. I think you think it's funny. It's not funny. Your spread eagle on a bench with your kid's face in the camera. One of the people that saw this picture went ahead and put a sticker over your child's face before sharing it on social media, but you should be ashamed of yourself. It looks as though you're acting out, like offering yourself up like a package deal. That's what it comes across as to citizens. I'm sorry that your dating life is so sad that you have to resort to Hinge. I truly am, but do better.
Again, this is what I've been saying for you know 2 weeks now. These are the people, and I know out of the 723 people that are watching right now, you're thinking, who does this apply to? Because most of us watching it, we didn't cave. We weren't wearing masks. We didn't take vaccinations. And if you did cave, you only caved for a short period of time, and then you were like, this is all crap. So if it doesn't apply to you, it doesn't apply to you. But if it does, it does. These are the people who told you to wear a mask. These are the people telling you to drive EVs. These are the people telling you that a man is a woman and a woman is a man. This is what I believe this woman identifies as a binary person. She's neither male or female. She sits there with her son or her daughter. Look at her legs spread. This is a leader in San Diego. This is a person on the city commission. These are the people. You will wear a mask. You're not allowed in this building unless you're vaccinated. Again, these are the people that inform you. These are the people that lead you. These are allegedly the experts. These are the people that launch us into now $35 trillion worth of debt, $1 trillion every 100 days is what we're accumulating right now. These are experts. How is Joe Biden, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Eric Swalwell, Lindsey Graham, Mitch McConnell, Rob Portman, John Cornyn, Lisa Murkowski, Susan Collins, AOC, Iona Presley, Rashida Tlaib. How are these people experts? I mean, why do they get to tell us what to do? They're our representatives. They're to do what we tell. This is a representative. Why is she still? She laughs about it. She sits there offering this package deal. This is a leader in the community who's going to then mandate things to you and say, this person's going to mandate things to you in San Diego. And of course, This is just emblematic or symbolic. You can look at it either way. Other situations around the country. This is the military right now. This is our United States military, where you have a general orders manual in the United States Army that tells you have to. You go to the specific section in their GOs, general orders, and there is specific guidance for female Army soldiers on how to shower with a woman with a penis. Here's what you should think. These are our leaders. These are the alleged informers. These are the disseminators of facts. These are the followers of the science. And you have to be told how to shower with a woman who has a penis. Remember Joe Rogan called it like a sheenus? Sheenus? She's, I think so, yeah. With a Sheenus?
Yeah.
You know, she doesn't have a penis. She got a Sheenus. These are the leaders. Right, let's go to the next one, Will. And wokeness video. Here's the next spokesperson. This is now the ambassador for Doritos. By the way, a professed pedophile. This guy, who's pretending to be a girl, is a professed pedophile, is now the spokesman for Doritos in Spain. Play it for me.
Ser perfecta no es fácil, pero te acabas acostumbrando.
No soy nada de eso. O sea,
eres
falta.
Perfecta.
No, no soy perfecta. Estoy súper orgullosa de mí, de ser totalmente quien yo soy y no oprimirme por nada del mundo.
¿Te pasa mucho que te toman por el pito del sereno?
Siempre. He estado en clases, he estado en charlas y a mis profesores directamente ni me han escuchado. Me han dicho directamente que no me metan física porque es una carrera.
Back to me. So there you go. Just something to think about when you're thinking about buying Doritos. Is that's what Doritos thinks. May not have the guts to put that person, that man pretending to be a woman who's a professed. He's not ashamed. He's a professed pedophile. He likes underage kids. That's what he likes. And he's dressed as a woman, but is fully intact. But he's, I wonder who is it that he's sexually abusing? I don't know whether it's males or females. But that's what Doritos thinks of you. And these, again, are the experts. You weren't, you know, Doritos and all these other multinational companies weren't allowed to enter their buildings without being masked and vaxxed and everything else. DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion, ESG, environmental, social governance, and everything else. These are those corporations. These are the people who are mandating things to you. People like this. All right, let's go to this one. Ole London video. I just want to show you what's coming. Ole London video. Radical trans activist India Willoughby. This is a guy pretending to be a girl. Now, I want to show you what's coming because all of us in America, we don't realize what's happening right now. I just heard a stat from the Bongino show today, and I should have written it down. But they arrested, I believe it was 14,000, I believe it was 14,000 criminal charges in Great Britain, where this interview is taking place, in Great Britain for using the wrong pronouns, basically, for hate speech. We haven't been touched by that in the United States yet. But that's the goal here, is to criminalize speech. That's why you had a disinformation governance board. That's why you're having all of this governance over the internet. You know, this is hate speech, that's hate speech, because eventually it will become criminal. If you say the wrong pronoun, if you label somebody the wrong pronoun, eventually it will become criminal. It already is in Great Britain, and it already is in Canada. Listen to this. Listen to this is the agenda. This interview is the agenda. It's already firmly in place in Great Britain. You're getting arrested if you didn't wear a mask. If you put out a video about true vaccination facts for disinformation, you're being arrested for disinformation, being arrested for hate speech. And I've given wrong credit to arrested for disinformation in Australia, not Great Britain. I don't know what all, they do arrest you absolutely for hate speech that's arbitrarily discerned by some government entity about what is hate speech. But this is what's coming to America right here. Play for me.
J.K. Rowling has definitely committed a crime. I'm legally a woman. She knows I'm a woman. And she calls me a man. It's a protected characteristic. And that is a breach of both the Equalities Act and the Gender Recognition Act. She's tweeted that out to 14 million followers. If you check out the accounts that have been responding to me on the back of that, her trigger, it's absolutely disgusting, putrid, some of the worst abuse I've ever seen on social media. And I know I'm at the center of it, and I might be a little bit biased.
Well, what are you going to do about this?
What am I going to do about it? Well, I've been to the police. And I've reported it as an issue. I contacted Northumbria Constabulary yesterday.
So you reported J.K. Rowling to the police?
I have reported J.K. Rowling to the police for what she said, which I don't know that if that's going to be treated as a hate crime, malicious communications, but it's a cut and dried offence as far as I'm concerned. And at the end of the day, it is a hate crime. Trans gender identity is a protected characteristic, just as race is, just as sexuality is, and the equivalent of what J.K. Rowling said, calling a trans person a man, deliberately knowing that that person is a woman, and I am a woman, regardless of what J.K. Rowling says. I've been through everything that's required of me. My birth certificate says female, my passport, all of my documents. I am legally recognized as a woman. And for J.K. Rowling to deliberately, and that is the key word, misgender me, knowing who I am, is grossly offensive. It is a hate crime, and it should be treated just as somebody calling a black person the N-word or an Asian person the P-word.
But she has all the documentation. She says that she's a woman, and all of her documentation says she's a woman, so she's a woman. No, it's just all these political offices have now scared to death of actually saying the wrong things. Oh, you want to be called a woman? We'll call you a woman because I'm scared of the political consequences, societal consequences of not calling you a woman, i.e. the Gender Recognition Act, the equality. Be paying attention because the Democratic Party is going to try to pull the Gender Recognition Act here, the Equalities Act here. I know a lot of people are going off and watching the State of the Union. I don't know why they're doing that. I wouldn't even bother. I just wait forever for somebody else to cut it up. Instead of wasting my time watching Joe Biden lie. And he was 30 minutes late. What a galactic moron. What an unprofessional, turd-sucking piece of crap that is the president of the United States. But anyway, I get locked into it too. He, J.K. Rowling, J.K. Rowling is a devout liberal who just said, you know what? Just imagine this. Will was bringing this up. Say this woman, you know, was injured somehow, and she's going to the hospital. And the entire time and they're like, who are you? Or maybe she's unconscious. Imagine she's unconscious, being transported to the hospital in an ambulance. And they pull up her license and they're like, oh, okay, whatever. What's her stupid name? India Willoughby. What a great name. Oh, India Willoughby. Okay, it's a girl. And then they, of course, have to treat her at the hospital and start pulling her clothes off. Whoops. Not a woman. What do you, and again, women have different body parts. There's different threats to different body parts. How healthy is it to be calling yourself a woman when you're actually a man and you're injured in specific areas that would need to be treated as a man and you're calling yourself a woman? You know what I'm saying? I mean, her status that she has bestowed upon herself is a protected characteristic. Can you imagine living like this? That's a protected characteristic. I will never call this person anything but what he is. He is a man, fully penised, dressed as a woman. Oh, but his passport gives him legitimacy. What is that? It's just a piece of paper. And think about it in terms of criminal justice. How are you ever going to know what a person is who a suspect in a crime is? Because the passport says female, but he's actually a male. He commits the crime and goes back to acting like a male. But your suspect is female. I mean, it's just amazing to me. And she says, you know, it's a protected characteristic. Just like race. I mean, how do black people feel about this? Just like sexual orientation, which shouldn't be a protected characteristic either. You want to be gay? Be gay. Go die and go straight to hell for it. But you want to be gay? Be gay. If you want to lie, be lie. You're going to lie. You lie, go straight to hell for that too. I'm just saying, go do what you want to do. And again, how does this work? You have to have misgendered her on purpose. How do you determine that? Do you ever steal or rob or murder in a non-on-purpose way? Every other crime is obviously on purpose. It is on purpose. You're doing it on purpose. But how would you determine whether somebody's doing something on purpose or not? Makes absolutely no sense. But this is what is coming to America. All right, Midas Gold Group, 60 seconds of Midas Gold Group. Why do I love this company? You hear it all the time. This is a MAGA-owned company. It's a veteran-owned company. So veteran-owned, MAGA-owned, MAGA-operated. Listen, Midas Gold Group is not conservative, not Republican. MAGA, because those things have gotten to be awful. I'm voting down ballot Republican. I've been a Republican my whole life. Not changing. I'm just saying, this is not a Mike Johnson company. This is a Donald Trump company. This is a MAGA company. This is a Matt Gaetz company. This is a Steve Bannon sort of company. This is a MAGA company. Well, now, You're like, well, what? Okay, that's great, but what else? Everything they do is physical gold. There's no mysterious gold. There's no like gold accounts where you have perceived gold. It's all physical gold in your hand. It's the first question that I asked them. Can I buy physical gold from you? And they answered immediately, Tom, that is primarily what we deal with. That's what we deal with. And any other gold that's not physical in your hands at the moment isn't like an IRA account. You tell them, I want my physical gold, shipped right to you, physical gold right now. That's how it works. That's Midas Gold Group. And you've got to have gold back. You've got to have a couple thousand dollars worth of gold because they're trying to de-dollarize the globe. Now, your own country is. The Democratic Party is trying to de-dollarize the globe. It's trying to devalue the USD along with the BRICS movement. You've got to have gold in your safe. Buy it from the right company. If you're going to buy a cell phone, buy it from Patriot Mobile. If you're going to buy gold, buy it from Midas Gold Group. And when you do, tell them that the TLP sent you. Let me show you this. Some of this was on the pregame, but I want to give you the actual statistics. Speaker Mike Johnson tweet, 170 House Democrats just voted against the Laken Riley Act. Refusing to require the detention and deportation of illegal immigrants who have been caught committing a crime. So 170 Democrats out of 200. There's 200 Democrats in the House of Representatives. Maybe slightly over that. But there's 200 Democrats because there was 30 that voted with Republicans. So 30 Democrats voted with the Republicans on this act. And 170 Democrats, after a woman, 22 years old, nursing student, in a sanctuary city of Athens, Georgia, just had her skull crushed into the place where she was unrecognizable to any person by an illegal immigrant who is now being tied to her brother, by the way. His brother has been known to be tied, linked to, I'm going to show you the video in a second, linked to Venezuelan gang activity. But anyway, so maybe it was an act of retribution is what I'm telling you. But Democrats don't want illegal immigrants who commit crimes to even be detained or deported. Remember, require the detention and deportation. They don't want either one of those things. And Aaron brought up a good point in the pregame. Probably thought I forgot it, but I didn't. He asked, why is this even an issue? Why would you have to come up with the Laken Riley Act? I appreciate the appreciation of her, but I'm just saying, why is this not automatic? Because, by the way, it's already written into the criminal code that you get deported upon committing a crime.
Right.
So, and by the way, why do you need to be deported for committing a crime? Because when you entered, you committed a crime, so you automatically are deported.
Right.
Why is this even an issue? But just so you know, the actual statistics, 170 Democrats do not want rapists. So these allegedly are the fighters for women. These are the advocates for women. They don't want rapists to be detained. It just happened. I should actually clipped together off the Dan Bongino podcast, what just happened in Martin County, Florida, by the way, where they have a sex offender who's got numerous sex offender charges. This has all been fixed now, but this is all in Martin County. Fixed because why? In Martin County is a small area in the state of Florida. I mean, as far as population is concerned, medium area, small to medium, smaller than where I'm sitting right now, even. Sarasota County, Florida. But anyway, the only reason why anything was brought to the sheriff of Martin County came out and said, we are having to release this sex offender. He had warrants out of Washington State, I believe. It's either Washington or Oregon. I'm going to go with Washington. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Washington refused to extradite him. Everybody knows how that works, right? What happens is you got the FCIC, NCIC system inside the United States. FCIC is Florida. NCIC is national. You make an arrest. The person's obviously run through FCIC, NCIC, and it gives you the warrants of wherever they are wanted from. And Interpol will give you worldwide. But it came back. He had, I believe it was three sexual assault warrants out of Jay Inslee's Washington. And Jay Inslee refuses to send a plane to extradite him back to Washington. I mean, I guess they're spending so much money on CRT and DEI. They don't have any money left over to charter. I mean, they don't have a charter plane. Just put all they got to do is buy a seat. That's all you got to do. Send two deputies, buy a seat, and extradite them back to Washington. They refuse to do it. That's the Democratic Party, of course. So, and then ICE refused to detain them. It's a multiple sex offender who's illegal. An illegal sex offender. And Democrats will tell you this never happens. It's happening all the time. So the sheriff puts out on social media, I have to do this. This great person, he's just one of the, a great constitutionalist sheriff down in Martin County. I forgot his name, but that he is a great sheriff. Donald Trump actually called him to congratulate him on his soon retirement. But anyway, so the sheriff puts it out, there's nothing I can do. Well, they happen to have Dan Bongino lives in Martin County, Florida. Martin County, not Miami. Martin County, Florida, Dan Bongino lives there. Dan Bongino's got about 130,000 people per podcast watching him. William Snyder, that's the sheriff. Thank you, buddy. Thank you, Aaron. So Sheriff Snyder puts out, I've got to let him go. Well, Dan Bongino gets word of it and puts it out, like, what the crap's going on? Talks to the sheriff and everything else. Sheriff can't do anything. You can't hold him illegally. Otherwise, you're committing a crime called false imprisonment. Well, then suddenly ICE puts a detainer on him, comes and gets him. That is where we are right. That's why Lincoln Riley's dead. And then we have to have a Lincoln Riley Act to do what you're already supposed to do. And even though it's a bill telling ICE to do what they're already supposed to do, Democrats voted against it. So Democrats are voting against enforcing laws that are already on the books. And Democrats are voting for the rape of our women, just so you know. The rape and butchering of our women that they're allegedly advocates for. I don't know where I'm at. Oh, here's the thing on Lincoln Riley's brother from Fox News. Real Mac report breaking. The brother of the migrant accused of murdering nursing student Lincoln Riley is in court for possessing a fake ID and has ties to a vicious Venezuelan gang. Play for me.
Fox's alert here, illegal immigration, the border crisis, and migrant crime. That's a triple threat afflicting every corner of the country. Right now, the brother of the migrant accused of murdering Georgia nursing student Lincoln Riley is in court for possessing a fake ID. And guess what? It turns out he has ties to the vicious Venezuelan gang behind a terrifying wave of violence in New York City and elsewhere throughout the United States.
All right, I screwed up that whole thing. I misunderstood it when I watched it. Screwed up the whole thing. It's not Lincoln Riley's brother. It's the suspects. The murderer's brother has ties to the Venezuelan gang. So I apologize. Here it is. Now model it for everybody. Ready? I was wrong. That's what you do when you put a mask on three times and you found out they do absolutely nothing. You don't pretend like it never happened. You come out with those vaunted three words. You pimped and hoard vaccines from your pulpits. You come out and say, I was wrong. I was wrong there. I thought that was Lincoln Riley's brother who had the ties. No, it was the murder suspect's brother who has the ties to the Venezuelan gangs. So anyway, I was wrong. There we are. But that, again, people that Joe Biden has let into the country and the Democrats want to continue. Remember now, Ibarra, the murderer of Lincoln Riley, was detained at least twice, once at the border, once in New York, and I believe three times. But I know for sure twice at the border he was detained, and then he was detained for misdemeanor crime or crimes in New York and let go. And I believe one other time also after that, but I don't want to give you the wrong information. But they were all let go, and the Democrats said, you know what, we are all in favor of Ibarra being let loose and killing Lincoln Riley. That's what they just voted for. You're like, Tom, that's hyperbolic because it would never, they're never thinking in specifics like that when they vote like that. Well, shouldn't they? Shouldn't they think of, it's just like, there's this kind of viral video going on about abortion right now. It's being put out on social media about a woman saying that she's like writing a letter to her dad, and these are both Republicans. Dad, I can no longer support the Republican Party because they're taking away the woman's right to choose. The woman's right to choose has not ever been a part of the Republican platform. So how are you ever a Republican? I mean, it's just so nonsensical. It's a nonsensical bull crap. I really miss cussing right now. It's just nonsensical bull crap. But here's the thing. I always write that I put this on numerous people's and then I never get a response. It's weird. I'm like, so you are all for a woman's right to choose and you are all an advocate for women. You're an advocate for women's rights. You're an advocate for benevolence on women. You're an advocate for that, right? That's sure. But you kill 500,000 women per year in the womb inside of the United States. That we know of. 20 million worldwide. But you're an advocate for women? Because half of all of the abortions are women. So how are you an advocate for women when you slaughter 20 million per year worldwide? It's 41.2 million abortions per year without New York and California being fully calculated in that number. How are you an advocate for women when you kill women in the womb? A woman will never be born because of you. It is that specific. Speaking of specifics, you ever wondering where the Democrats are going? Now, I'm not saying this Democrat's speaking right now, but we know where they stand. This is now going on around the globe. I already showed you the UN charter on this, where the UN wants 47-year-old men to sleep with 14-year-olds. We got that. That's in their paperwork. You can pull it up right now. You can Google it right now. It's in the official UN charter. They're trying to normalize. They're going to go step by step. Start off with 40-year-olds sleeping with 14-year-olds, and eventually it'll be 40-year-olds sleeping with 4-year-olds. That's what they want. Don't believe me? Listen to what's being said around the globe right now. Play it for me.
Most of us feel discomfort when we think about pedophiles. But just like pedophiles, we are not responsible for our feelings. We do not choose them. But we are responsible for our actions. And we must make a decision. It is in our responsibility to reflect and to overcome our negative feelings about pedophiles and to treat them with the same respect we treat other people with. We should accept that pedophiles are people who have not chosen their sexuality and who, unlike most of us, will never be able to live it out freely if they want to lead an upright life. We should accept that pedophilia is a sexual preference.
Yes, from an emotional point of view, I can kind of understand that you would want to eliminate these people from society. However, it doesn't make sense. And that's because we're talking about biology. We're talking about a sexual orientation, something that we simply cannot change. And on top of that, every day, new people are born with the same difficulty. So it's not practical to eliminate these people from society. They haven't done anything wrong.
See how they promulgate the lie right from the beginning, that people are born a pedophile. Nobody is born a pedophile. People become pedophiles either because they were victimized as a child,
yep.
They were sexually victimized as a child, or they're watching porn. It's the same thing with homosexuality. You either victimized, where you end up turning normal relationships. Like what happens if you were raised devoid of a good dad, you have a tendency to eroticize males. That is just the way that it is. What you do is if you're going down that path, is you say no to it, you deny it. That's what you need. Oh, you're not supposed to deny your feelings. That's not Christianity, though. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, crucify your carnality, and follow me. Take up your cross, deny yourself. That's command number one. Deny yourself. Take up, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's what you're supposed to do. So you don't just go, well, I was born that way. You were never born that way. Nobody's born a pedophile. You made yourself a pedophile. You made yourself a homosexual. You made yourself have anxiety attacks. You made yourself those things. You sowed seed. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. But now it's being propagated as being born that way, just like that. Now they started with homosexuality, right? And now we have legalized gay marriage in the United States of America. We have, like I said earlier, we have an Army General Orders Manual that is teaching female soldiers how to deal with a sheenus, a person they're calling a female, but a man in a shower identifying as a woman with a penis. But here's how you're going to deal with that. It's all normalized. I mean, come on. Let's just all look at the facts. If you're going to have 48-year-old men with taped-up genitals twerking in front of 8-year-old girls, are we going to see the forest for the trees or what? I mean, and now you're seeing all these. We played it the other night on the Kentucky Senate floor. You had a woman, Dr. Berg, who ended up voting against legalizing child sex dolls. This is on the Senate floor in Kentucky. It's even a debate. But she was talking about how it gives pedophiles a release. Studies are showing. There's no studies that show that child sex. These are sex dolls that are like little kids or babies.
Yep.
For pedophiles to have sex with. And she was advocating for it to some degree. And then voted against it. but only because she probably looked around the room. If she knew that other people would vote for it, she would have voted for it. They're just waiting for just enough acceptance to get away with it. UN charter, then you've got these people talking around them. Around these, they're born with it. How can we deny it? So eventually, what? I mean, it's weird because I'm trying to remember whose report it was live from the border. Can't remember. But one of the people, I listened primarily to a lot of Steve Bannon. I listened to a lot, and I listened to, of course, Dan Bongino all the time. But anyway, so I get a lot of information off of that. Mike Benz I've been listening to. But I wish I remember who it was, but one of the people that just recently visited the border was a politician. And they just have kids disappearing down there all the time. They're just disappearing. Thousands upon thousands. They say 85,000. It's way more than that. It's 1 to 5 times that many. So it's a bare minimum of 170,000 are missing under the Biden administration. But they come up with thousands a day that are missing. And where on earth are they going? As the globalist left, is propagating slowly but surely and getting it out there. It's more this year than last year now. And it was more in 2023 than 2022. They're propagating and trying to, they're propagating the normalization of sexual contact with a child. Drag queen story hour, twerking a man's penis in front of a little girl's face. Oh, but it's all just art, according to Kevin Bacon and his wife. All right, that's it for the night. Stick around for the post game. I'm sure Joe Biden's still talking. We'll probably switch over to that too. But stick around for the post game first. Stick around for it. Lots of good stuff in the post game. I'm back here Saturday night at 10:30. 648 people that are on. Love you all. Thank you for always being here. Switch over to Rumble if you're watching on any other platform. Really do appreciate all you guys. Buy your gold from Midas. But stick around for the post game. Love y'all. See you Saturday night, 10:30.
I don't know how people go to the church of perpetual false edification. I don't know how you deal with it. I mean, for me, it's got to be challenging. I couldn't go to a monotone church, a lukewarm church. I could never pull that off. And it's not really because of altruistic reasons or righteous reasons even. I'd be bored out of my mind. I would be bored out of my mind if I wasn't challenged. If there wasn't something that irritated me, I'm at the wrong church. I want something that, you know, I want something where I have to go, you know what, I'm gonna go check that. I wanna go see if that's really right. Because I don't feel like that could possibly be right. We've had people do that. They come back, they've ended up staying for years because if you love the Bible, you won't be able to go anywhere else.
If you enjoyed watching the Tom Lipley podcast, please consider investing in our program. Go to tomlipley.com and donate $25 or more, and we will send you this TLP mug warmer. We look forward to you tuning in next week, and thank you for giving.